to the third COVID question and answer forum hosted by CEO Benefits and Disability Management Department. This is Catherine Laveau. And unfortunately this morning I'm having some technical issues, so I don't have my video on for today's session. Our forum is hosted by our CEO Benefits team of Tracy Sewell and Ken Mizuno, as well as our CEO Disability Management Division, which includes myself, Lorena Colmenares, and I'm very happy to introduce our newest member, which is Courtney Bishop, is here today with us, and we're thrilled to have her. Last week in our and I'm not sure, Tracy, I would just say I'm not sure that all participants are currently muted.
Right, it's looking that way. I'll mute all and then unmute you guys again.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see.
Can you hear me now, Tracy?
Yes.
Okay. So I want to start by saying that as we did last time, today we are also recording the Zoom. So it will be available to anyone who wasn't able to attend, but we did want to make you aware from the outset that we are recording. So as you might recall, during last week's Q&A session, we were cruising through the often rough waters of COVID-19 leaves, and we're hoping that everyone has found a little bit smoother sailing as a result of that session last week, but we certainly understand that it's still a jungle out there as it relates to all of the COVID-19 leave processing, and Tracy has managed to be our representative, our technical representative of that today. So we're hoping that these sessions continue to answer your questions and give you the support you need as we try to figure our way through these leaves. We appreciate the questions everyone has been providing, and we will continue to do these sessions as long as we find that there's a need to support you guys through the process and try to get you the information you need. So just as a quick review over the format, our format is the same as we've had in the last 2 weeks. Hopefully you can see the questions that have been presented are submitted on your screen, are being shared on the screen. Tracy will read the questions, and today actually Courtney's going to be the one who provides us with the answers, and Ken will provide technical backup if we need it. If you have questions during the process of the meeting and you want to ask questions or seek clarification, you can either use the chat feature or you can raise your hand during the presentation through the Zoom function. And Lorena will share with you how you go about doing each of those things.
All right, I'll go ahead and get started with the first question. Oh, wait, you're waiting for Lorena to say something?
I believe she's still muted.
Yeah, I unmuted her, but then she muted herself. I'll try it again.
Okay, sorry. Good morning, everyone. Hope everyone's doing well. So in order for you to submit a chat question, you have to raise your hand. And in order for you to do that, right underneath your toolbar it says participant. So you're going to go ahead and click on that. And it's going to have a little icon that says raise hand. And you can go ahead and raise your hand through that icon. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Lorena. All right, so we'll go ahead and get started with our first question. Do the employees have the option of applying for unemployment benefits or not?
The answer is the employee should always be encouraged to apply. If the employee has advised that they will be applying for UIB, you should apply integration with their vacation annual leave accrual, assuming they have requested a paid leave.
All right. If no questions, we'll move on to the next one.
No questions.
Thank you, Catherine. When on a personal leave of absence, I understand you can only use annual leave or vacation accruals, but we have a case where an employee has a doctor's note to care for their child and does not qualify for FMLA CFRA since they don't meet the 1250 hours. In this case, since they have a doctor's note, can they use family sick, although this is a personal leave of absence?
The answer is absolutely. And up to the calendar year allotment per their MOA, MR. However, these are unprotected absences and can trigger a disciplinary action if and when abused.
I think I would add, though, on this one, it says, can they use family, their home caring for a child? It sounds like the child is ill. They probably shouldn't be on a personal leave of absence. I think the personal leave of absence is only for those who are caring for children who are not sick. Ken, is that correct?
Say that again, please.
It appears from this question that the child is actually sick. Mm-hmm. And so they shouldn't be on a personal leave of absence, right? Shouldn't they be on a family care leave or?
Well, if they qualify for FMLA, that would be the only option.
Oh, I see. Yes, you're right. They didn't qualify. Okay. All right. Okay, next question. What happens when the stay-at-home order is lifted and the department needs employees to return back to work, but school daycare is still closed? What rights does the department have to request require the employee to come back to work due to business needs? What rights does the employee have to remain home to care for children due to school daycare closures?
The answer is FFCRA allows the employee to be out 12 weeks for school closure. It expires 12/31/2020. If they have supporting documentation, the employee can still be out on a protective leave. Schools will remain closed for the rest of the school year. The stay-at-home order could be lifted, but schools will remain closed.
Tracy, excuse me. Can you unmute Catherine?
Yep, I did.
Okay.
All right, next question. What happens if the department approved a COVID-19 school daycare closure leave request and now telework is no longer being offered? We need the employee to return to work due to business needs. Can we request or require the employee to return to work prior to the end date approved on their leave of absence request?
The answer is telework is considered work just as if they were in office. So if the employee did not need to be on the leave if they were teleworking, if the employee has a legitimate COVID-related reason for leave, FFCRA allows the employee to be out for 12 weeks for school closure. It expires on 12/31/2020. If they have supporting documentation, the employee can still be out on a protective leave. Schools will remain closed for the rest of the school year. The stay-at-home order could be lifted, but schools will remain closed.
All right, Catherine got muted again. Okay, Catherine, any questions?
No questions.
Thank you. All right, next question. We have employees out and not teleworking. When orders are loosened and agencies open up to handle more business transactions, there will be a need to have more staff available to handle tasks that can only be accomplished in the office. Aside from the leaves that have supporting documentations from a healthcare provider, can the department require the employees to return to work?
The answer is, I'm assuming you're referring to an employee who has been furloughed. What would you normally do if an employee did not report to work? If the employee is needed to work and wishes to keep his or her job, the employee should report to work. Otherwise, he and she is absent without approval. And then, if yes, the employee chooses not to return until all orders are lifted, what recourse does the agency have? And it refers to the answer above.
Yeah, just follow your normal policies or, just follow what you normally would do if an employee doesn't report to work and you need them there. All right, let's see. Next question. We have an employee out due to COVID-19 childcare issues for two of her younger children. She just submitted a doctor's note regarding her adult child, who's 21 years old, that has that was seen at a COVID-19 urgent care testing site. The adult child met the CDC testing criteria, but results will not be available for 1 to 2 days. The note does not indicate parent needs to provide care. It just advises that the patient needs to quarantine at home for a minimum of 7 days or 72 hours after symptoms are resolved, whichever is longer. The employee would like to use her personal leave to care for her son, stating he can't care for himself at this time. Should this continue as a personal leave?
The answer is, in order to take FMLA leave to care for a son or daughter who is 18 years of age or older, the adult child must have a disability and be incapable of self-care due to that disability. The son or daughter must also have a serious health condition for which he or she needs care.
So I wanted to add on this one, since it is a personal leave, you should still apply the FMLA rules because that's really all we have to go by. So if the child is over 18, they must have a disability that makes them incapable of self-care. So on the FEHC, the certification of the healthcare provider, I believe that's question number 7. So that if the healthcare provider indicates yes, and on question 10, the employee indicates what type of care they are providing, and the doctor approves it, then you would be safe to proceed with a personal leave.
Thanks, Ken. All right, Catherine, any questions?
No questions.
All right, thank you. Question 49. Most recent natural disaster attestation form reads 3 consecutive days. Is it considered a leave only after 3 consecutive days out, or 3 days total over the span of the specific attestation period? Example, one of our employees is working from home except for 1 day a week due to childcare and school closure. She completed the attestation form for 1 day a week that was approved. As of May 2nd, she has taken 44 hours of leave due to childcare and school closure.
The answer is this should be treated as an intermittent leave under EPSL and EFMLE, whereas more than 3 days have been exhausted through the end of the declared COVID-19 emergency and in which they are unable to work due to childcare or school closure.
All right, thank you. Question 50.
Questions at this time.
Thank you. Okay, EPSL. If an employee is out for 2 weeks with COVID-19 related symptoms, told to remain at home, they're waiting for testing and then they'll have to wait for the results, would they be eligible for the 80 hours of EPSL under FFCRA? Even if they were approved for 40 of those hours with the attestation form, it seems that they would still need to be paid the remaining 40 hours of EPSL. Is there a certain way they should request that, or who is responsible for approving that? Would this just be the LOA coordinator? If the results come back negative, does that make any difference to their eligibility?
Oh, sorry. The answer is please refer to the COVID-19 leave and pay guides posted on the Benefits COVID website. The employee should be eligible for EPSL because one of the qualifying reasons is experiencing symptoms of COVID-19 and seeking a medical diagnosis.
And I just realized I didn't put an answer for that last question. If the results come back negative, does that make any difference to their eligibility? No, they're eligible if they are experiencing symptoms and seeking diagnosis. Once they get that diagnosis, yes, then it needs to, if it's negative, they come back and they still were eligible at the time for the EPSL. All right. Even if they were approved for 40 of those hours with the attestation form, it seems that they would still need to be paid the remaining 40 hours with the EPSL. Is there a certain way they should request that, or who is responsible for approving that? Would it just be the LOA coordinator?
The answer is the agency department is only approving the leave, not how the employee will be paid on a leave other than natural disaster pay. If the employee is out on an approved COVID-related leave, there's nothing additional to approve once the natural disaster is exhausted. The agency's payroll unit should integrate the 40 hours of EPSL with other available pay options. For example, leave accrual, disability payment, etc. Please refer to the COVID-19 leave and pay guides posted on the Benefits COVID website.
All right, question 51. Okay, intermittent natural disaster pay. An employee who is on an intermittent leave, splitting each workday between working and leave of absence, is already receiving the 2/3 pay under EFMLA. She would now also like to apply for the last 40 hours of natural disaster pay and split those 40 hours over the remaining 1/3 of her hours that are not covered under EFMLA. Is that an option? For example, 4 hours reg, 2.6 NDISH, 1.4 either LWOP, banks, or NDISH, again, due to attestation approval.
The answer is yes.
All right. This next question is long, so I'll try to shorten it. Let's take an employee on a 540 schedule. Employee makes $3,000 biweekly or $300 a day when working their regular schedule. The employee goes out on a leave of absence due to COVID-19 school closure from April 6th to June 26th. Let's say they opt to use EPSL and EFMLA and they file for unemployment. It appears we would calculate the amounts as follows. And you can see that they have done the calculations. The employee usually makes $300 per day, so the total benefits paid would be an overpayment because the example shows they would be paid $410 a day. Therefore, we would have to adjust EPSL EFMLA to only $90, correct?
The answer is yes.
Okay, yeah, we want to make sure that the employees aren't making more off than on, so we need, and that's always, so we just need to do integration to that point. All right, and the final question we have is one that we received last week, and this was about changing work schedules to maximize EPSL and EFMLA benefits for employees. We did have contact with county council on this to make sure that we're providing accurate information, and this is what they advised us. If an employee has a schedule other than 540, so 5 days a week, 5 days and 40 hours a week, and their workday hours are more than 8, can we do a schedule change during the leave so that they can maximize their EPSL and EFMLA benefits since these have daily pay maximums?
The answer is yes, but when the employee returns from leave, the schedule will need to be changed back to what it was when they went out on leave. The schedule change will be for payroll purposes only. To change your schedule, you would take their biweekly scheduled hours, 80, 72, 60, etc., and divide by 10, the number of days EPSL and EFMLA are assuming. This is the number that you can change their daily hours to in order to maximize their benefits. For example, an employee who usually has a 72-hour biweekly schedule would have their daily hours changed from 12 to 7.2. That way, they'll have receive a full 72 hours of EPSL, EFMLA in a pay period spread over 10 days and not be limited by the daily pay maximums.
Any questions?
Yes. So how do we find out the UIB amounts an employee might be receiving?
We won't know. It's kind of like SDI. You just, you know, we'll eventually get the amount from EDD, right, Ken?
Yes, the EDD will send, in both cases for a UIB and a SDI claim, they will send you the EDD will send out a weekly benefit allowance showing how much they're eligible on a weekly, and I believe on an annual maximum limit basis.
And the one other point that the person who submitted the question made was just that what they're experiencing is that it seems to be taking quite a bit of time for applicants to find out if they're eligible and even longer to receive the payment.
Yeah. And so, I mean, in this case, and Ken, correct me if I'm wrong, with SDI, we can somewhat estimate what it's going to be and we can start integration. In a situation like this, would you not integrate in the beginning and then once they do have the approved benefits and start receiving money, then go back and do the adjustments? Or would that not be a good idea?
I mean, that's one example, or you can pay them based on an estimate. The EDD website does have a calculator.
That's right.
That does take into account the highest quarter over the last year, going back to December of last year. You can put in those estimates. I have found that just by using the last quarter of the year is sufficient enough just to obtain an estimate. And then you can kind of go from there. The only thing that we have kind of hanging is the $600 limit that they're supposed to be receiving on a weekly basis in addition to their regular UIB amount. We don't have anything to verify or confirm if that $600 limit is prorated or not, based on their UIB amount. For instance, someone getting $450 would most likely be eligible for the full $600, but someone who's only eligible for $400, would they receive a prorated amount of that $600? That's the question or the answer we don't have at this time. So an estimate would be best at this time.
Oh, wait, I need to unmute Courtney. There we go. All right, any more questions? Catherine, is there anything more? Nothing?
I thought I saw one come through, but I can't see the whole question.
I see Catherine dropped off, so she must be having issues. So let me unmute her. She's back in.
Okay.
Catherine, you're right. Yes, I'm definitely having technical issues today, so sorry about that. No worries. So far, I don't see any questions that are coming in from the group right now.
Okay.
Okay, so maybe while we're waiting, and certainly if you're still typing, you can type, we can share with you some additional information we have for the group. Oh, wait, I got one. Can an employee coordinate interchangeable between the two-third pay up to $200 day cap and the 40 hours of the natural disaster attestation form in order to extend the 40 hours of the end of the NDISH?
I don't see why not. I mean, I would think if the agency, can allow that person to be out for an extended period of time, like if operations allow, I would think, to maximize their benefits, you could do that.
Yeah, I don't see a problem with that either.
Okay, and it sounds like Catherine may be having problems again, but the second part of the question was, can an employee coordinate? Oh, I see. No, they just did it twice. Sorry. They typed the question twice. Or I'm sure they didn't type it twice, but Zoom is having issues, so I'm sure it just put it twice.
Can you hear me now, Tracy?
Yes, now I can hear
okay.
you.
Okay, sorry. So maybe it's an opportunity while we wait to see. I don't see any other questions right now. Is to then share with the group some procedural issues that we want to make sure that they're aware of. So we recognize that there are a large number of leave of absences that are not actually processed in Presagia at this point. It's going to be essential that the input for VCHRP and Presagia that the...
She got cut off.
Yeah. So the message is, we are in need of getting an accurate picture of how many COVID-related leaves are out there. So we are requesting that you please enter all leaves into Presagia by next Friday. We understand that there are some agencies that still have quite a backlog. We are willing, if you do need help, please reach out to us, ask us for some help. We can see what we can do. But there's a need right now to get an accurate picture of how many employees are on leave, and we just don't have the resources to do that right now because, or not the resources, but we just can't do that right now because not all the leaves are in Presagia. So we're requesting that get put in there. It'll also allow management to see what all you all are doing. So I think the more accurate the picture, we'll be able to show how much our leaves have gone up, how the count has. So we just ask that you please get those into Presagia. Okay, there's a question. Are there reports we can get that compare VCHRP and Presagia?
So what I'll do is, this is Lorena, I'm going to be sending out reports to all agencies for any leaves that began effective March 13, and then you can see what's in the system. Tracy, can you guys share what the agency reports with the org code that they're currently using for COVID-19 leaves?
Yeah, I can run a query and pull any leave that has been entered with the PLA ORG, and that will identify COVID-related leaves in VCHRP. So yes, I can do that.
Okay. So the answer is yes, we'll be sharing reports with each agency.
Yeah, so let us know. Just let us know if you need any assistance. We understand this is a trying time. That's one of the reasons why our theme is it's a jungle out there today, because we realize times are unusual. I don't see any other questions. Catherine, are you on now?
I am, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry for my technical difficulties today, everybody.
So I shared with them just the need to get all of the leaves in by next Friday, and that we're willing to work with them if they need it. Anything else you want to add?
No, I think that's right. It's just obviously behind the scenes, if you think you need help, please do reach out and we'll try to support you as best as we can. But it's important that the backlog doesn't continue to grow. So we just need to have reconciliation by Friday. So we'll help however we can. And hopefully with these sessions, you guys are at least getting enough of the information you need to hopefully make some of the processing go a bit more smoothly.
Yeah, and I think some agencies may not even know that they need. I'm worried about the leaves that maybe they don't think it. They need leave paperwork, but they actually do, like the ones that had natural disaster attestation forms and were out for more than 3 days. Those leaves we do need paperwork for, and they need to be in the system so we can count them.
It does look like we have two. Did you address the question? Is there a way that we can get employee statements directly from EDD?
I can answer that one. As far as I know, no. That's something that we have always wished for, and it's always been on my wish list, but unless something has recently changed, there is no way to get they're called weekly benefit allowance statements from EDD. No, those are not available.
And one more question. Is it possible to get all of these questions?
So she cut out again. I'm not seeing the question that she's reading.
They probably send it to her directly.
Oh, I see, right.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounded like maybe she was saying, can we get these questions that we're showing today? I hope that's the question. Oh, here it is. Is it possible to get all of these questions on one file, so we're not searching multiple files. I'm referring to the ones on the presentation. So right now we have all of the three different documents from the three different forum sessions that we've done on our website. Sure, we can, I'm sure we can put them all together. And we do email these out at the end of each session. But yeah, they are posted on the website, the COVID website as well.
Those were just added late last night, by the way.
Okay. And we'll put this recording, we are recording the session again. We'll put the recording on the website. We did hear from people that it was helpful to go back and listen to some of the discussion. Sometimes we have discussion beyond what's on the question and answer document, so it can be helpful. Any other questions? I don't see any. So we are going to continue to do these. Keep sending your questions, and we'll be, we're going to try to continue to do them on Thursdays. Okay, so we probably should end this call. There's lots of technical issues going on this morning. I'm guessing it's because Zoom is overloaded, but thank you all for joining us this morning. Like I said, continue to submit your questions. We'll continue to have these sessions if they're helpful for you, and let us know if you need any help getting your leaves input. Thank you for joining us.